Shall we turn to Leviticus chapter 1, verse 5, verse 10 and verse 14. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 5. The beginning part only we shall read. He shall slay the young bull before the Lord. Verse 10. He shall slay it on the side of the altar. Verse 10. But if his offering is from the flock of the sheep or of the goats for a burnt offering, he shall offer it a male without defect. And verse 14. But if his offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, then he shall bring his offering from the turtle doves or from young pigeons. May the Lord bless this portion of the scriptural part and use this part for our edification and for our blessings also. From the last three classes, we have been pondering upon the subject called Levitical offerings, which are there in the book of Leviticus, first five chapters. And the five offerings are burnt offering, meal offering, peace offering, sin offering and trespass offering. What we saw last time, that there are three different types of burnt offering. The burnt offering from the herd, the burnt offering from the flock, and the burnt offering from the bird. And God allowed five different animals to be sacrificed, to be offered. And those five animals were bull, male sheep or male goat, turtle doves, hare or pigeon. And last time we have been looking on the first two animals, that is bull. What we saw, that the first animal is bull, and all those five animals, they are typifying Lord Jesus Christ. They are showing the person and work of Lord Jesus Christ, which he has done on the cross of Calvary, and also his perfect life. The first animal which we were pondering upon, that is bull or ox. And we saw three important characters, all three important things about bull. The first things which we saw, that the bull is precious and valuable for his owner or for the farmer. And we were trying to compare it with Lord Jesus Christ, that Lord Jesus Christ is precious to Father because he was at the bosom of the Father. He was not only at the bosom of the Father, the bosom position is the precious position. Nothing in heaven we see more close to Lord the Father than his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, because he is precious to the Father. Lord Jesus Christ is not only at the bosom of the Father, but he is also precious because he is the only begotten Son of the Father. So these are the two characters in which we have seen about Lord Jesus Christ. Because of these two things, Lord Jesus Christ is precious to the Father. The bull is not only precious and valuable, but is also powerful and strong. He is not only powerful and strong, but the third character or the third thing, speciality about the ox bull, is he is patient and enduring service. The bull is patience and also endurance in service. And in this category, patient and enduring service, we saw about 6-7 points, and we compared all these 6 points with Lord Jesus Christ as a patient and enduring servant. There are 4 Gospels, and we saw there are 4 in the 4 Gospels in the book of Ezekiel. The 4 different animals are shown: eagle, man, bull. And out of this bull shows the Gospel of Mark, which is representing Lord Jesus Christ as a servant of God. So bull is patient and enduring servants, and there are about 6-7 categories we saw differentiated, and we also compared it with Lord Jesus Christ, that the bull's or Lord Jesus Christ's area of service. What was the bull's fourfold area of service? He was utilized in agriculture. He was also utilized in transportation, also for the threshing and also for water purposes. So we saw the bull's area of service, and we saw the wide ministry of Lord Jesus Christ. We also saw Bulls are Lord Jesus Christ's availability of the service. The bulls is not for his own pleasure. Whenever his masters need his service, he is always available. That may be morning time, early morning, day time, afternoon, whenever it is, night time, he is always available. And we compared it with Lord Jesus Christ. He always made himself available for the ministry or for the service of others also. Bulls age, and that also we compared. The bulls which supposed to be offered in the burnt offering, his age should be a young bull. And if we see the other scriptural portion, he supposed to be of young bull of 1 year age. That age shows maturity. The age shows he's completely grown. And Lord Jesus Christ died at the young age. We were also comparing the bull's resting place. The bull's resting place after doing the whole day toiling work, it is not always a manger. Sometimes it is in the open sky also. And we saw Lord Jesus Christ said that there is no, even the foxes has hole, the birds has nest, but there is no place for the Son of Man to lie his head. We saw the bull's usefulness. Bull is not only useful in his throughout life, but he is also useful when he is to be sacrificed or when he is to be died. Even when the bull is of no use to the master will sell him to slaughter. So the bull is not only useful in his life, but in his death also he is useful. And we saw that even Lord Jesus Christ did the great ministry on the face of the earth for about 3.5 years, and also he did great work on the cross of Calvary. Even in his death also, he was useful for his master, he was useful for you and for me. The second animal which we were looking, that was a male sheep. And we saw that there are at least three people or for three different types of people, the word sheep is used in the scripture. First one, who can say? You have seen this. This is just a little bit of revision. It is for the word sheep is used for the Israels. And in the Old Testament also, and in the New Testament also, in the book of Peter. Peter says that we were gone astray as the sheep. So the word sheep was used for Israelites or for the people of Israel. The word sheep was also used for the New Testament believers. Lord Jesus Christ also said that I have another sheep also to whom I should go and find. We believers are sheep. Lord Jesus Christ said that my sheep knows me, they hear my voice. Lord Jesus Christ also said that I am sending you as a sheep among the wolves. So the word sheep is also used for the New Testament believer. And the word sheep is used for Lord Jesus Christ himself. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 3, we read that he was silent as a sheep to the while shearing. So the word sheep is used for Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw the two important characters in sheep. And we saw those two important characters, how they exactly fit to the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that how the sheep is completely silenced to his shearer. And we saw that while Jesus Christ was being shown from the Garden of Gethsemane till on the cross of Calvary, he was completely silent. He was silent in front of Pilate. Pilate, he was silent when he was in front of the chief priests and elders and scribes. He was completely silent when the soldiers was hitting him. He was silent when they were mocking him. He was silent when they spit on him, and he was also silent on the cross of Calvary. No complaint. No words of complaint at all. No complaint about Judas who sold him for 30 rupees. No complaint against the soldiers. No complaint against the Pilate even though he did not judge Lord Jesus Christ properly. No complaints against the false witnesses who gave false testimony. No complaints against the chief priest, because as per law, nobody should be trialed or nobody should be judged in the night. But the trial was carried out about Lord Jesus Christ in the night. But Lord Jesus Christ did not open. No complaints towards the Father also, that Father, why like this, and no complaints for the whole world also, for the sinner also. So while he was shearing, or while he was being sheared, they sheared his comfort, they sheared his honor, they sheared his good name, they sheared his dignity, and on the cross of Calvary they sheared his life also, but no complaint at all. So the sheep speaks about Lord Jesus Christ, how silent he was. And the second character which we saw, that the surrender of the sheep, the way the sheep surrenders himself to the shearer completely, without any opposition, without uttering any words or anything, Lord Jesus Christ completely surrendered himself in the hand of soldiers, in the hand of many people. He did not say any words. So these two animals which we were looking. Now let us go and see the third animal which God allowed to sacrifice in the burnt offering. The third animal is male goat. And the scriptural portions which we have already read, we have before us, we will not read from the Bible once again. The scriptural portion for the male goat is Leviticus chapter 1 verse 10 says that, but if his offering is from the flock, of the sheep or of the goats. So the third animal which God allowed to sacrifice, to offer, is a male goat. Now, God speaks about our Lord Jesus Christ as a substitute. Let us read some of the scriptural portion. At least we will read two scriptural portion. God speaks about our Lord Jesus Christ as our substitute. Leviticus chapter 16 verse 7 and 8. Leviticus chapter 16 verse 7 and 8. I will read for you. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. So here we see that the goats are used as a substitute, and we see in the New Testament that our substitute is no other than Lord Jesus Christ. We shall read one more scriptural portion from the New Testament. That is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. For he hath made sin for us. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, for he hath made sin for us. So we see that Lord Jesus Christ is our substitute. Shall we go ahead further? The male goat is not only shows that he is our substitute, or in the New Testament, Lord Jesus Christ is our substitute, but also the goat shows, or the goat speaks about our Lord Jesus Christ as a supreme leader. Now we might have known it very well that the goat speaks about our substitute, but the goat again speaks about our Lord Jesus Christ as our supreme leader. There is a difference between sheep and goat, and the main difference is, generally sheep likes to follow either the other sheep, or sheep always follow the shepherd, or sheep will follow to that object which is before the sheep. But that is not the case with the goat. Goat has a tendency not to follow others, but to lead others. And we shall see some clips that how the way goats are made, they are not made to be followers, but they are made to lead others. We will see two, three slides, and then we will see some of the scriptural portions which clearly shows that they have the ability to lead than to follow others. We will see one slide, we have it here. Now, in this slide, we have one male goat in ahead all of the sheep, and other sheep, they are just following it. We will see some other clips also. This is the flock, and in the flock, the animal which is leading or which is ahead, which is in the front, that is a male goat. And all the sheep are there, they are just following it. We have third slide also. We have number of sheep, and ahead the sheep, we have one male goat, and the male goat is in the front or in the lead, and the other sheep, they are just following who is ahead there. Goat has a tendency to lead the flock than to follow. They have that inborn tendency in them. Shall we see some of the scriptural portions which reflects about their tendency? The book of Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 8. Abby will read for us. Abby, Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 8. Be as a he goat before the flock. Why he goat before the flock? Because the flock has a tendency to lead. In other translation, it is mentioned, I think Lazarus has the translation. That is Good News Bible. There it is mentioned that instead of be as a he goat to the flock, it is mentioned that be first among them. So why be first? Because the he goat, they have a tendency to lead, then they have a tendency to follow. Shall we read one more scriptural portion? The book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 30. I will read for you. Proverbs chapter 30, 29, 30 and 31. There are three things that are stately in their stride, four that move with stately before a lion, stately bearing, a lion, a mighty among beasts, who retreats before nothing, a strutting rooster, a he-goat, and a king with his army around him. Now here, we have some speciality in their walking, or some speciality in their moving, and the four animals are mentioned here. The first animal is lion, then we have king, then we have he goat also, and we have the rooster. And we compare about lion. Now lion is a king. Generally he is made to lead, and there is nothing which will hinder him to lead. Again, the lion as well as the king. Now, the speciality or the ability of the king is not to follow others, but be a leader, be in the lead, be in the front, so that others can follow. Same thing if we look at the rooster who is early morning, he is shouting. Now, he is also having the ability to follow, or ability to lead, and the fourth animal is a he goat. Now all these four animal, there is some speciality. Generally, the verse is speaking about their move. How nicely or how special is their move is? Why their move is special? Why king moves, or why king walks in his speciality? Why lion walks in his speciality? Why rooster walks in his speciality? Because they have the ability to lead others. They have the inborn ability, inborn capability to lead. Now we will not read any other scriptural portion, but in the book of Daniel, chapter 8, we read about two creatures. And there we read about the he-goat. And what the he-goat does? He goat is hitting the other ram, and now he goat is in the power. And if we read prophetically, the he goat is speaking nothing but king Alexander. So the he goat is represented by a king, Alexander, who was at that time is a supreme king. So we see the inborn ability in the he goat is to lead others. So goat speaks about our Lord Jesus Christ as a supreme leader. We have already read these scriptural portions. Now let us compare that how Lord Jesus Christ is our supreme leader, and as a leader, what are the things which he has done for you and for me. Lord Jesus Christ is not only sheep, but he is also a shepherd. Now sheep has a tendency to follow, and we have already seen that. As a sheep, he was completely silenced. As a sheep, he was completely surrendered. But he is not only sheep, but he is a great shepherd. Now what is the ministry of the shepherd? To lead the flock. So Lord Jesus Christ is not only a sheep, at the same time he is also a leader, he is also a shepherd. Lord Jesus Christ is not only a goat who is a substitute, but again at the same time he is a goat who is a king, or who is a leader. As a leader, what great thing he has done. Now just compare these things with the worldly leaders. Now the worldly leaders, in the time of difficulty, in the time of trouble, in the time of problem, they will escape and they will make their followers to die or to do the right or do whatever it is. But our leader, our supreme leader, our captain of salvation is not like that. He is a supreme leader. He is a great leader. And for us, he has gone on the cross of Calvary and he has defeated our enemy. As he himself has said, I think it is a Gospel of John, that unless a corn of wheat is fell in a ground and he died, there cannot be others. So our Lord Jesus Christ is our leader. He has done great things for us. We always sing a song. I think there is one hymn which says that he is the captain of our salvation. He is our leader and we are his follower. We have only one leader among us, that is Lord Jesus Christ. So God speaks about our Lord Jesus Christ as our supreme leader. He is not only our substitute, at the same time he is our leader also. He is our supreme leader also. He is not a leader like the worldly leader is, but he is such a leader that for us, or on our behalf, he has defeated the enemy. He went ahead on the cross of Calvary instead of us. We are supposed to be died, but instead of us, he died, and he has gained the victory over Satan, the victory over sins, and we are his follower. He is our head, and as he is directing us, and as he is guiding us, we are following him step by step, step by step, step by step. God speaks about that. God speaks about our Lord Jesus Christ as our supreme leader. Shall we turn ahead? The fourth bird, or the fourth thing which God allowed to sacrifice is turtle dove. So far the three animals which we have seen, bull, sheep and goat, they are the animals who are living on the land. Now we have two birds, and the two birds is, first one is turtle doves. The scriptural portion is Leviticus chapter 1 verse 14, where we read, he shall bring his offering from the turtle doves. What turtle doves speaks, and what is the comparison of turtle doves with Lord Jesus Christ? The first comparison: turtle doves points to Jesus Christ as a heavenly one. Now these three animals which we have already seen, they are the animals which are from the land, and they are on the land, and they are always on the land. But that is not the case with turtle doves and with pigeon. The first important character, or the first important things about the turtle doves, that they are not from the land or on the land, but they are always in the air, or they are from the heaven. And we see that Lord Jesus Christ is not from this world, but he is from above. Even though he spent some of his time, or some of the years or 33 or 33 and of half years on this face of this earth. But his origin, he don't have any origin, beginning or end. But we can say that originally or initially, he is not of this world, but he is from above. So turtle doves points to Jesus Christ as a heavenly one. The second important things about turtle dove. Turtle dove points to Jesus Christ as a beloved one. The dictionary definition about the word turtle doves is like this. The definition from the dictionary of the word turtle doves is sweetheart or the beloved one. And Lord Jesus Christ is God's beloved one. We will read one verse from the Bible. Psalm 74, verse 19. Psalm 74, verse 19. Do not deliver the soul of your turtle dove to the wild beast. Do not forget the life of your afflicted forever. Now here the psalmist is using one important word. He says that, do not deliver the soul of your turtle dove. Your, and we know that the Y is mentioned in a capital letter. So it means that it is God's turtle dove. Whose turtle dove it is? It is God's turtle dove. And the psalmist says that, do not deliver the soul of your turtle doves to the wild beast. Now, who is God's turtle dove? Who is God's sweetheart? Who is God's beloved one? Let us compare this portion with another scriptural portion. Psalm 22 verse 12. I will read it for you. Psalm 22 verse 12. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. Now we know it very well that Psalm 22 is speaking about the suffering of Lord Jesus Christ. And this Psalm 22 verse 12 is speaking about Lord Jesus Christ himself. And what is the background or what is the situation here in Psalm 22 verse 12? Jesus says that many bulls have surrounded me. And who are they bulls? The bulls are not ordinary one. They are the special bulls. And the special one, why? Because they are the bulls from Bashan. Bashan is a place where super or solid or strengthy or powerful bulls, they used to be, they were there in the place called Bashan. So the bulls, so the scripture says that strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. Encircled me, it means that it is, although that Lord Jesus Christ is inside and he is surrounded by, he is encircled by whom? By the bulls of Bashan. The bulls of Bashan means the bulls are very strong. Now we know it very well. Who are the bulls of Bashan? Who are they? You can guess, no problem. I'm sure you don't have to guess. You know the answer. Yes. Heavy. Yeah, the Roman soldiers. Exactly. Now, when the Roman soldiers were scourging him or when hitting him, it was, the situation was Lord Jesus Christ was inside and they were encircled and the bulls were encircled. So he was inside and the bulls were surrounded him. Now we know that prophetically it is speaking about Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us read that verse which we already read, that is Psalm 74 verse 19. There the psalmist is saying something similar to this. What he is saying? He is saying, do not deliver the soul of your turtle doves. Why? Because to the wild beast. Now there is one turtle dove. Is it turtle dove or turtle doves? Is it singular or plural? It is singular, note it. It is singular. So the situation in Psalm 74 verse 19 is, there is one turtle dove and there are who are around, who are nearby, wild beast. Now let us see that who should be that turtle dove. The dictionary definition of the word turtle dove is sweetheart or God's beloved one? Who is God's sweetheart? Who is God's beloved one? Let me give you some clues. About David, it is said that he is a man of God's own heart. About Abraham, it is said that he was God's friend. About Israel's, it is said that they are God's chosen people. They are like the eyelids of apple of their eyes. They are special people. And even in this century, God has not forsaken them. They are special people. Their time will come when the church will be taken up. Then their time will start anyway. So these are the two, three clues from where we can guess that who should be God's sweetheart, who should be God's turtle dove, who is surrounded by the wild beast. Can it be David? Can it be Abraham? Can it be Moses? In the life of David, was the situation something like this? In the life of Abraham, was the situation like this? Or can it be Lord Jesus Christ? Who will be God's turtle dove? Who is God's sweetheart? Who is God's beloved one? We are the turtle doves of Lord Jesus Christ. We are His beloved one. Because He is our, we are His bride and He is our groom. We are His turtle dove. But who is God's turtle dove? I think if we see prophetically, now the turtle dove is Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's turtle dove. Now let us compare like this. Abraham is there, Moses is there, David is there, everyone is there. Jonah is there, Peter is there, Paul is there, everyone is there, and Lord Jesus Christ is also there. And now just compare. Who is God's turtle dove among all these things, among all these people? Who is God's beloved one? Who is God's sweetheart? I think it is none other than Lord Jesus Christ. So, turtle doves points to Lord Jesus Christ as God's beloved one. We have already read this scriptural portion. The third important comparison about the turtle doves is, turtle dove points to Jesus Christ as man of sorrow. We will read one scriptural portion from Isaiah chapter 59 verse 11. Turtle dove points to Jesus as man of sorrow. Isaiah 59 verse 11 says like this: all of us growl like bears and moan sadly like does. We hope for justice, but there is none. I will read only this much. All of us groan like bears and moan sadly like does. Now the turtle doves has another speciality or another character. They are the bird who are always moaning. That is their speciality. And turtle doves points to Lord Jesus Christ as a man of sorrow. Turtle doves is known as a moaning bird. And we will read Isaiah chapter 53 verse 3 says that. Isaiah 53 verse 3, in this whole chapter, at least in that verse, we see Lord Jesus Christ as a man of sorrow. 53 verse 3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Here we read one important word, that a man of sorrows. Chapter 53 of book of Isaiah is speaking about Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see Lord Jesus Christ as man of sorrow. So we have seen three important characters and three important comparison. Turtle doves. The turtle doves is again speaking about Lord Jesus Christ. He is a heavenly one, Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's beloved one. And Lord Jesus Christ is a man of sorrow. We will see the fifth bird, the second bird and the fifth in the category, that is the pigeon. But if his offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, then he shall bring his offering from the turtle doves or from young pigeons. Pigeons represent harmlessness and innocence. Lord Jesus Christ says in the book of Matthew 10 verse 16, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, and therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Pigeon is speaking about Lord Jesus Christ as he is harmless and he is innocent. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 26 in King James Version says like this, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." Lord Jesus Christ is harmless and is innocent. No guilt in him. So the pigeon represents harmlessness and innocent, and we know Lord Jesus Christ, no harm he did to anyone, and he is completely innocent. The second important comparison or important character of pigeon is the pigeon represents purity. We know at the time of flood, in Noah's ark's time, when the flood was over, now Noah wanted to make sure whether still there is water on the face of the ground or not. So initially he sent Sunday school children. He sent crow, or initially he sent raven. But what did the raven did? He went here and there. He did not come back. Then he sent dove, or he sent pigeon. The other translation, if you see, the word pigeon is for, it is dove, or it is pigeon. Now he sent the second time, Noah sent pigeon. Now what did the pigeon do? He came back. Now children, can you tell me why did the pigeon came back and the raven did not come back? Yes. Yeah. Children, answer it. Yes. Why raven did not come back and why pigeon came back? Yeah, how you can prove it the raven was not pure? Yes, you are right, but just illustrate a little bit more. You know the answer, yes. The raven was not pure, right? Yes. Yeah, the doe came back again because he find when the doe went outside, he saw all dead men's, dead animals, and the flesh are sad gaya hai sab, all mess, and he cannot enjoy, or he cannot have place to settle somewhere. He came back. But what the raven did initially, when raven went, he also saw the same thing, but he liked it. He saw the dead flesh. Oh, let me, what shall I eat? Shall I eat this king, or shall I eat the servant? Or shall I eat the lion, or shall I eat the donkey? And he was enjoying his feast. It was a feast for him. So he did not come back. The crow is not, or the raven is not pure animal. He can enjoy whatever he like, but that is not the case with pigeon. Pigeon fight all mess and he came back. Second time when he went, he came with a leaf of olive. So the first character which we see in pigeon, that the pigeon represents purity. And we see that Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing impure in him. In New Testament, we see pigeon settling on one person. Who is that person? Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, we never see that pigeon is settling anywhere. When he went outside, he saw all messed. But in the New Testament,
When Lord Jesus Christ took baptism, the pigeon came or the dove came and he settled. He settled not on the John the Baptist, but there is one person on the face of the earth who is pure in his motive, who is pure in his intention, who is pure in his heart, who is inside and outside pure, and that is none other than Lord Jesus Christ. He settled on him. Lord Jesus Christ is pure, not only from inside, but outside also. Pigeon represents purity. And there is nothing, I mean, no one pure as Lord Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. The third important character about pigeon. Pigeon represents peace or new beginning. Second time also, Noah did the same thing. He went the pigeon. Now when the second time he sent the pigeon came back with a fresh olive branch, fresh olive leaf. The olive leaf was fresh. Why it was fresh? Because other earlier creation all were completely diminished, and now something new is going to happen. He bought the signal. He bought the message that now onwards there is something new. Pigeon represents new beginning, or pigeon represents peace. We always know that whenever there is peace treaty or whenever there is compromise, and when the compromise is done, the big leaders, they will take pigeon or dove in their hand and they will just make it to fly. And it shows that, it signifies that, okay, now it is peace, because the animal represents a peaceful animal. Lord Jesus Christ, He is a Prince of Peace. Lord Jesus Christ is a giver of peace. Let us read one scriptural portion to compare it with Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 23 verse 12. Luke chapter 23 verse 12 says like this. Now Herod and Pilate became friends with one another that very day, for before they had been enemies with each other. Before these two people, two great people, big people, Pilate and Herod, they were enemies of each other. So how they become friends? Pilate sent Lord Jesus Christ to Herod for trial. Herod sent him back to Pilate. And when Herod sent Lord Jesus Christ back to Pilate, the verse says that from that day onwards, they became friends. Before they were enemies. Throughout the life of Lord Jesus Christ, whatever he did, he always made friends. He did not create enmity. Now even in his trial, through him, the friendship were created. Pilate and Herod, they became friends. And on the cross of Calvary, he did a great friendship. He made a great peace treaty among God and people. Earlier, there was no friendship between God and between you and me. We were God's enemy. But when he died on the cross of Calvary, it is a new beginning. It is a new peace. Earlier, there is no peace. Earlier, there is no beginning. Now, there is new beginning. Those who are in Lord Jesus Christ, we are new. We are new creatures. We have new hope. And we know that we have new life, and we are enjoying this new life even now on this face of this earth. It is just because Lord Jesus Christ. On the cross, he made peace between God and between us. He has shown us the indication that there is new things. Now, all these five animals, birds and animals which we have seen, all these five birds and animals, they are the peaceful animals or peaceful creatures. Nothing wild has to be offered on the altar. They are the peaceful animals. And we see that Lord Jesus Christ is peaceful. There was nothing wild in him. Sometime when we are being tempted, or when when some situation comes, we lose our peace and we start to fight and we show our angers and our real person comes out. But nothing doing this with Lord Jesus Christ. They did anything, but he did not lose his inner peace. He was totally calm. He was in his peace even though he was on the cross of Calvary. All these animals, peaceful animals, and we see again once again that Lord Jesus Christ, these five animals, they represent Lord Jesus Christ as a peaceful person. Now let us go ahead. The duties of the offerer. Verse 5, we shall read initial portion. Chapter 1, verse 5. He shall slay the young bull. We'll read only that portion. He, it means the offerer, he shall slay the young bull. So far in the first chapter of book of Leviticus, where the burnt offering is mentioned, if we read from verse 1 to verse 17, in all these 17 verse, there are three important characters are there. Three important things. One is, it is speaking about the different animals. It is speaking about the offerer. And it is speaking about the priest. And from chapter 1, verse 1 to 17, everything is related to each other. We have finished first part, that is, we have finished all these five animals. Now we will start into the second part. That is, the second part is the offerer. Now, already in verse 3 and verse 4, which we have already finished in our earlier classes, there we have seen that what were the duties of the offerer. In the duties of the offerer, the first duty which we have already seen, that he has to choose and bring the offering. The offerer cannot choose any animal or any bird he like, he has to choose one animal or one bird out of this fire. Nothing or anything that offerer brings on the altar will be acceptable. Lord Jesus Christ should be there. Then and that time only he will be accepted. So we see that all these five animals is talking about Lord Jesus Christ. Now the offerer has a freedom to bring any animal as per his financial capability and as per his free will he can bring. So that already we have seen it in verse 3. He has to choose and bring the offering. And these are the five animals and birds. Second things which the offerer has to do, that is, he has to put his hand on the head of the animal. That also we have seen, that he has to put his hand on the head of the animal, that is a bull. Now the third thing, he has to slay or he has to kill the animal. That we read in verse 5 and verse 11 also. The offerer has to slay the animal. The offerer cannot simply bring the animal and give it to the priest. He cannot simply put his hand on the head of the animal, but there is something else which the offerer has to do, and this is the duty of the offerer, not the duty of the priest, as far as these two animals are concerned, that the offerer has to slay or to kill the animal. Why he has to kill the animal? We have seen already that the animal is speaking about, they are the reflection or the shadow of Lord Jesus Christ. Who killed Lord Jesus Christ? We will read 2-3 scriptural portions quickly and we will come to the conclusion. Who killed Lord Jesus Christ? Matthew chapter 16 verse 21 says, From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. Elders, chief priests, scribes. Luke chapter 22, verse 22 says like this, For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Who is that man? We know Judas. Acts chapter 2 verse 23 says, This man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of the godless man and put him to death. Who you? Peter is addressing this to you. It means Jews. Acts 5:31. I will read a very important verse only. The God of our fathers raised up Jews whom you, it means high priest, had put to death by hanging him on the cross. Here you is the high priest. Peter is again addressing to the high priest. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 15 says, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. Who? Here who is also? Jews. Who killed Lord Jesus Christ? Is it Judas? Is it chief priest? Is it Pilate? Is it elders? Is it Roman soldiers? Or is it Satan? Who killed Lord Jesus Christ? These all scriptural portions we have already seen. Who killed Lord Jesus Christ? Chief priest, scribes, Pilate, Judas, Satan? Who killed? I think we all have part, we all have role to play in his killing. No person on the face of earth can say, or no believer on the face of earth can say that he do not have any part in his killing. Yes. Because of his sins, or because he should be saved, any person, I mean all believers, everyone has a part, because John 3:16 says that Lord God the Father, he loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Son was given for the whole world. The Son was not only given to the Israelites only, but the Son was given to the whole world. So who killed Lord Jesus Christ? Can we say only Jews? Can we say because of Gentiles? Can we say because of Jews? Because of Judas or because of high priest or Pilate? Who is responsible in his killing? They all have their role, their hands or their responsibility in it. And it will not be wrong if I say that yes, because of me, because of you, because of us, we have some role, some part to play in the crucifixion of Lord Jesus Christ. The offerer, what he has to do? He has to kill or he has to slay the animal. Why did the offerer has to kill the animal? Why not the priest? Why not somebody else? Why the offerer only? We will see some of the slides which will understand that why the offerer only has to kill, has to slay the animal. Now, the slaying of the animal is not an easy job. It is because of many reasons. The one reason is the blood. How much quantity of blood a person can have? What is the ratio? Is there anybody from medical field? Sorry? 5 liters. The 5 liters blood will be in a small child also, in a matured person also. So what is the ratio? Yesterday I was traveling coming back from Nasik to Bombay, and I was preparing these slides. So one person was sitting behind me, and I was preparing the slides on my journey, and he was looking to these all animals and all preparation. And this was very interested to him. He said when he got opportunity, he came and sat near me, next to me, and he said that he was a Maharashtra in Athawale. And he said that, what is this? Why? What are you preparing? And then I said that I am a preacher and I am preparing for so and so message, and I am studying this subject. You are preparing for these things, and I am also related to this. I said, what is your relation? He said that I am a veterinary doctor. He is not only veterinary doctor, but he is a chief, I mean he is the head of all over Maharashtra veterinary, some doctors union or whatever it is. He is a big man. So then when he says that related to it, then there was 2-3 queries when I was preparing the slides. I thought that he is the right person. So first things which I asked, that how much liters maybe the bull will be having when he is getting killed, how much blood will be flowing. Then he says, easily said, 10%. I said, 10% of what? He said that it is not only for bull, it is for any animal, even though it is right for any man, that the 10% of our weight, if my weight is 100 kg, the total amount of blood which my body will be having is 10% of my weight, that is 10 liters. Now just compare it with the bull's weight. Bull's weight will be how much? About 300 to 500 kilograms. So let's see 400, take an average. 400, 10% is 40 kg or let's say 40 liters. When the bull is being slayed or when the bull is being killed, how much amount of blood will be flowing? If not all 40 liters, at least, can you imagine this all blood is coming out? So it is, okay, there is one slide which shows that this is the killing which generally the Muslims do at the time of their festival. I think it is a Eid, some Eid. So it is a mass killing at that time. So we see here in the slides, many bulls are being killed. And see the amount of blood. The amount of blood is a huge in quantity when the animal is being sacrificed. Now, there are two types of killing. This also I asked to the doctor, to that person. He said that there are two types of killing. One is killing it with jhatka. Jhatka means all quickly killing. Now, let's see a chicken. Chicken is a very familiar to us. When there are two methods, the chicken is being killed and the Muslim says halal. Halal means it is not killing with jhatka. Jhatka means in one go, the head or the neck of the chicken, you just hit him and the chicken will die in a minute. The second type of killing is killing which is the method in the olden times and which is the method which even the Muslims follow now. Now the second type of killing is slowly killing. Slowly killing means just breaking, you know, the throat or breaking some important parts. So slowly, 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 all the bloods will come out and the animal will be dying. So in the first type of killing, if it is a jhatka killing, not all blood will go out. Only a small amount of blood will go out. But when it is a slowly killing, halal killing, that time the maximum blood will go out. So this type of killing, when the Muslims or even this Old Testament type of killing was like that killing, it is not killing in one go, it is killing in such a way that maximum blood, most of the blood of the animal will come out. Now the first slide shows that how much quantity of the blood will be there. Let us see another slide. Now here we see one bull. This is the blood which comes out when one bull is slayed, when one bull is killed. Let us see some biblical side. Now, this slide shows that when the bull is being killed, the priest will collect the blood for the next things to do, because we have some role of the priest also to play. He has to sprinkle the blood. Now, why the offerer has to kill the bull or kill the animal? The offerer must feel for himself the significance of taking a life. Killing a chicken is very easy. Just kill it, that's it. But killing of a bull, killing of a male goat, killing of a he-goat is not easy. Now the goat or the bull or the animal, the animal will show all kinds of resistance not to be killed. And in that resistance, in that consequences, he has to kill. Now when he will be killing the animal, what will be happening? Lot of blood will be coming. His hands, his feet, sometimes his clothes will be completely wet or blood will be on his clothes. So while killing, he has to feel the significance that because of him, what he did initially before killing, he kept his hand on the head of the animal. It shows that he is supposed to die, but instead of him, the animal is killing. Now while killing, he is feeling the significance of taking the life. He is feeling the flow of the blood. Oh, this animal is getting killed because of me. See the blood. And he has to feel that himself. That is why he has to kill the animal himself.
Our time is up. We will be continuing the another duties. There are various duties which the offerer has to do, and there are another duties also which the priest has to do. Continue to pray as I study this topic myself. Please pray for me that Lord may able to give me right word, right understanding of the scripture, and right thoughts and right words also to proclaim, so that we all may be benefited by this Bible study. Thank you very much.